Warning! This episode contains foul language, discussions about mental health, murder, and cannibalism.
Weirdos, you are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with a guest or just the two of us and we talk about something weird. And this week we are back, baby, with Helter Skelter Part 2. If you missed part one, you should definitely go back and give it a listen, but it is not immediately necessary in order to listen to part two, as these episodes are intentionally all over the place. We take weird topics that we find very interesting, but that didn't quite squeeze into previous episodes, and we place them all together in one big mishmash sugar smash episode. So tonight, we are continuing with some science-y psychology information put together with a little creepy crime, and we hope that you got your popcorn ready and are snuggled up in your blankie to enjoy it all with us. My name is Lauren, and this is my co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
Hello. We're back.
Hello. We are back. It is the same evening.
Same evening as part one, but you're hearing this way later, everybody.
Hopefully. We just had so much to talk about.
We did. So much to cover. And even in between these episodes, we had a lot of chit-chat.
I know. We just talked about TikTok for like 10 minutes. We had a lot of like, what's it called? Opening business? No.
We did. That's not,
what is that called?
Housekeeping? Isn't that what people call it?
I guess it was just sort of like, we've been gone for 2 weeks. We have a lot we have to address.
People to thank. A lot has changed in the world. It was everything. Yeah.
But Helter Skelter, I think I said it on the last episode. Sometimes my favorite episodes, I just like the variety of weird stuff in them.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's always, I don't know, I feel like I always get surprised when we do Helter Skelter episodes. I'm into it.
We're always learning something new, and it's fun because it doesn't just fit under one category. We get to kind of travel all over the world, learning new topics, and Ashley blew my mind on part one, so I'm very excited to hear the new things you've brought for this one, of course.
Before we get started, we do have a question for you guys. So every year for our finale, we go on a paranormal investigation, but this year we aren't because it's not safe for us to do. And
it's so sad.
It's not going to be safe for us to do in 1 month. So what should we do?
Please help us. We are at a loss.
We asked this question on social media literally tonight. A lot of you want a long listener ghost stories, which we can certainly do. Mm-hmm. Some people said seance, but I've lived with enough demons. I'm not sure if I'd be super pumped to open up yet another door in another home.
Yeah, I don't want you to invite any more demons in. You have had enough experience, and I'm not ready to invite any demons in. Because that was another suggestion. I think it was actually my own sister, my own flesh and blood, said you guys should do a reading of the uninvited right before bedtime.
Julia.
It's like, get right out of here. I am not reading
the
uninvited.
Did you listen to the episode?
Well, what's funny is she did listen to it and she immediately texted me and said, Lauren, I think I want to read The Uninvited. She's looking for an experience, which shows that we are just very different people.
We are just fundamentally not the same.
Respect to her for wanting to do that, but hell no. I'm too scared.
Oh, that's something that I should talk about. Oh, I'll do it real quick. So after I say this, write us. Send us your listener ghost stories, obviously, anytime. We save them for future episodes. And if you have a topic you want to hear us discuss or you have a cool idea for a finale / special episode, give us a holler because we're stuck. We're open to any suggestions.
We're searching.
Except for reading The Uninvited. That's what I wanted to talk about. We had a couple people write in One listener, and I'm so sorry, I didn't ask permission to say their name, so maybe I'll give them credit another time. But one listener wrote in and said that she actually had experiences after listening to my uninvited episode, which was like, cool, cool, cool. That's the worst.
Yeah, that creeped me out.
And then my personal friend, Rachel, I know I could say her name because I just decided I can. She actually downloaded it. Like, she read it, like, Kindle version, I believe. And she read it in, like, a day. She was texting me and she's like, four chapters left. Two chapters left. And she did say some, like, very strange things happened, but nothing, like,
huge. Nothing too crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like cats were being weird at one point, like a mirror fell down, which sounds like, oh my God, holy shit. But then it immediately, I believe, immediately stopped. Whereas for me, it continued for years. So
continued on and cursed your trailer for and other
cursed
people.
My
so
home.
Yeah, it was pretty wild to hear that somebody even just listening to our episode had an experience. Like, that shows there is a power with this book. It does not affect everybody. We've had some people be totally fine reading it, listening to stories about it, but man, certain people just get hit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, the listener who wrote in said that she started hearing tapping on her windows or her siding, or she heard tapping.
It was definitely tapping that, like, she did not recognize as being, like, anything she could explain. It was like, this was bizarre. And just the timing of it, that it happened to be while she was listening to us.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Do we have any more housekeeping?
I don't think so. We covered so much last week. We did. I feel like it's all in part one. I think we kind of covered where we've been, where we're going. There's only a few weeks left in the year as far as, you know, our scheduling for podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think of that. Yep. We're wrapping up season four.
Four.
Oh, man.
We only
it's wild,
have,
guys.
After this, we have two more topics, which, guys, like, that's probably four episodes. You know who we are.
Right.
And then our big finale, our big special, which, you know,
guys are going to help us with.
You guys hopefully will help us with, because you love us and we need help.
A lot of people, another suggestion that was given was to do a cemetery as our investigation because it would be safer outdoors. And I do love that suggestion. And it's not, like, off the table, but, I mean, it would still involve, you know, some close contact in a time when, like, cases are going up. So it does feel, like, a little scary, but also outdoors, they are still saying, is the safest place to be. So it's not totally off the table. It's something we could think about.
Yeah, we could think about it. Maybe we could do that. Let me get a sip of my water.
Oh, yeah, I should hydrate.
I'm really proud of the amount I did not belch in part one. Because I had
you
a PBR.
Really you kept your burping together. As soon as you said you had a beer, I thought we were doomed. But you did great.
I've been better at least turning my head. And here's the thing. Like, I'm the one that's got to listen to this shit. I'm the one that has to.
Ashley's doing all the editing. She has to listen to her own burps.
Burp is a burp. But when you burp directly into a microphone, you can hear the bodily functions happening. It is the worst thing.
Like, you hear the stomach moving around.
the juices are flowing. That was something I posted in our Facebook group, which everyone should join. We have a lot of fun there. So our last Listener Ghost Stories episode, the one that came out on October 30th, there was a story that involved a ghost that farted. And
yes.
I said in the episode, like, I can't wait to add the sound effects. Well, it turns out
it was horrible.
It was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I never, ever, 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 ever want to have to find a fart sound effect again because they're so gross. There were so many gross ones. And
oh,
I had to listen to like 20 of them before I found one that like wasn't disgusting or wasn't too goofy or wasn't very obviously like a mouth.
Right.
And I posted in our Facebook group, if anyone wants to go check it out, I posted
it's
some of
hilarious.
The reviews for some of the fart sounds, because when you get sound effects from this website, you can leave a review for the sound. And they were very funny.
Yeah, those reviews of the farts were absolutely hilarious. And you just knew, like, without even having to listen to them, like, that is going to be a juicy, horrific fart that I don't want to listen to.
I like the review that was like, this fart is perfect. And then it had a heart at the end.
Yep. This fart is the love of my life is basically what they were saying, which you don't usually use those words to. You don't usually use a heart to describe
a fart. A fart.
It rhymes. Anyway, guys.
Anyway, so sticking with healthcare, I wanted to talk a little bit about humans and technology. And it started with my research last week into the DNA tags and my lifelong struggles with anxiety and what seems to be a very large percent of the population who deal with anxiety and depression and ADD and ADHD and bipolar disorder and OCD and so on and so forth. And I see this a lot, and it really upsets me. I see a lot of boomers, if that's what you want to call them, look at that and think, well, millennials are just babies and they can't handle stress. Or
right.
They aren't mature, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's why people won't come forward, because they have parents and grandparents who are telling them that to toughen up. It's horrible.
Older generations and mentally healthy people sometimes look at therapy and medication as a sign of weakness, which it 1000% is not. I think it takes a whole hell of a lot of strength and courage to admit that you need help.
Agreed.
Especially if you live in an environment where people are telling you that it's all in your head.
Yeah.
But it's not because we're babies. It actually probably has to do with evolution.
Okay. Tell me more.
It took hundreds of thousands of years for sapiens to evolve into our current selves, into our bodies today. But our technology has exploded in like 6 decades.
Uh-huh.
The industrial age was only like 260 years ago, not to mention the internet. The World Wide Web was invented when I was 2 years old.
I know. It's crazy when I think about like we were alive. Yeah, that we were alive for that.
When the internet became available to the average person. So technically, in evolution standards, we as sapiens should still be rising with the sun, hunting, gathering, and living in very small communities. Like that's where we should be evolution-wise, but we are not. And there are several big ways that this contributes to our everyday lives and our health. For example, and this one's pretty obvious, but it is a good example. A lot of people on planet Earth suffer from headaches, as well as back, neck, and jaw pain. A lot of people grind their teeth when they sleep, or they clench their jaws, etc. And this is because of the amount of time we spend looking down at our devices. It's called text neck.
Oh. Text neck?
Text neck is what...
Okay.
That's the professional term. No, but that's what they call it, text neck. And it seems pretty obvious. Like, yeah, your neck gets sore when you look down, but there's actually a really interesting reason for that. So evolution has made it so that our spine, the actual bones in our spine, are supposed to be what supports our 8 to 11 pound heads. But when you do look down, our muscles now have to support or 8 to 11 pound heads, which then puts unnecessary strain on those muscles that aren't supposed to be working that often. So the neck and the upper back, and especially our upper esophageal muscles, which leads to pain, obviously stiff neck, sore back, but also your jaw starts getting involved. So again, that one's pretty obvious. So we'll get to some that aren't as obvious. This one is my new favorite. I've been telling all of my friends about it because ever since I started doing this, my life has improved so much. I've been doing it for like a week and a half. It's my new favorite thing. So our bodies are designed to need natural sunlight, especially first thing in the morning. A lot of us, especially in isolation when we're unemployed due to COVID, hello, me, may not even see natural light in a day, much less like first thing in the morning. So we all know we're supposed to get out. First and foremost, the sun provides vitamin D. Vitamin D allows you to more effectively use calcium. It improves your immune system. It helps prevent cancer. And it's actually important for our brain function. So like, please go see the sun.
Yeah. But it's so helpful. Like even like not even just knowing the science. I feel like if anytime I'm sad, if I just walk outside and feel the sun for a little, I'm like, okay, well, helped a bit.
Yeah. Even if it just makes you feel like a small, insignificant worm, which totally. You are.
But it's something. Yeah. It's a little uplifting feeling.
Smaller. And this is what's crazy. So when it comes to our eyeballs, our eyes contain photosensitive cells in our retinas. And stimulation of those cells comes from sunlight, not bathroom lights, not computer screen lights. It has to be sunlight. It's just same okay. as photosynthesis. It has to be sunlight, UV lights. So these cells in our eyeballs directly affect the brain's hypothalamus region, which controls our biological clock. And this influences our circadian rhythm, which turns out is crazy important, not just for our sleeping patterns, but also our hormone regulations, our reaction time, and our everyday, like, behavior.
Well, damn. Okay, sunlight.
So, when you get natural sunlight first thing in the morning, you've kickstarted your circadian rhythm. And that sunlight is going to cause a domino effect that makes your brain produce melatonin when the sun goes down. Melatonin, for anyone who doesn't know, is a sleep hormone. It helps you fall asleep and stay asleep.
We love it.
So you can spend $10 a month on melatonin gummies to eat before bed that may not even
Which
work.
I've done.
They've never worked yeah. for me.
Same. It's been a waste.
Or you can just do what I've been doing, which is taking a morning walk around the block first thing, and I've been sleeping like a baby. I have slept every single night. I fall asleep almost immediately. It's great. That's the only thing I've changed.
Yeah, the nights when I get good sleep, I've started to notice the pattern because I have those nights where I'm just up with anxiety and I can't figure out what got me down. But the days when I go either out of my balcony or in our little side yard and I do a workout and I'm in the sun for just like 45 minutes to an hour, whatever, those are the nights. I mean, also probably because I worked out and exhausted my body, it makes me more tired. But I think the sunlight has a lot to do with it too, just having that outdoor time or even, you know, even after the workout, I'll usually like sit on the balcony still and enjoy like coffee or my water bottle, whatever. And it helps. It helps, guys.
The only change that I have made in the past week and a half is when I wake up now, I wake up, brush my teeth, throw my contacts in, put on a sweater because it's kind of chilly in LA, feed the cats, make the coffee, and immediately pour myself a cup and head out the door. And I walk for anywhere from like 20 to 30 minutes. I listen to a podcast or I listen to a book on tape and I go back home. That's all I do. It's not a strenuous walk. I'm strolling.
No,
I'm pointing at my neighbors and I'm like, bah, bah, bah. Well, the thing is it's not even just, it's literally, it's a physiological thing. Like the sun hits right. my retina and it's those,
that's what's
it's
getting
the
you
cells.
Going.
Yeah. In my body.
Wow.
That's what I always thought. It's like, oh, it's good for my, you know, it makes me right. feel good. It's like, no, literally your body actually needs it. We'd also sleep better if we avoided screens before bed too, but I'm going to take it one step at a time, okay?
Yeah. I'm going to have to cut that out next, but yeah. it's going to be tough.
That's the second part of our circadian rhythm. When the sun goes down, that's when our melatonin, I've noticed I'm getting sleepy earlier because my body knows like melatonin time and it makes right. the melatonin. But then I flood my eyes with fake light and my body's like, what is happening?
I'm on TikTok for hours or I'm watching a true yeah. crime documentary for hours. I watched the documentary on the NXIVM cult, both of them, before you asked me if it was HBO Max or Hulu, both of them until wee hours of the morning when I did not need to. So, dear Lord, I need to cut that out. It's so bad.
I stopped watching The Vow because I got tired of it and I haven't watched Seduced yet. I don't know if I should. Because
I liked Seduced better. I feel like that's a hot take. I feel like I might get some hate.
No, I've heard that
everybody,
a lot.
I loved the Hulu one, Seduced. I thought, I watched all of The Vow, don't get me wrong, but I thought it felt a little repetitive after a while. And it was sort of like, okay, could we have reduced this to be a little shorter? But with the Seduced one on Hulu, I felt like each episode I was excited to learn more. Also, because they were basing it more on like one person's journey through it a bit more. And that was fascinating to see like where she started, where she ended, how her family was affected. And I don't know. It was good.
I might watch that one. Isn't it four episodes?
Yes. Either okay. four or five. Probably four. I enjoyed it.
I have a recommendation before I continue.
Please.
There is a documentary series on Showtime as well right now about the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And
okay,
it's fantastic. They go from when the store opened to literally today, pandemic time. And there's literally just like one episode I didn't like. Sorry, Joe Rogan. It was the Joe Rogan episode.
Oh, boy.
But essentially, they just kind of go through the history of the Comedy Store. You get to see interviews with a lot of comedians. You get to see footage of like Jim Carrey as a kid performing, or like Robin Williams before he was even on Mork and Mindy performing. Like, it's really, really, really wonderful. And it was a nice little piece of history, and it made me really, really want to go back to the Comedy Store.
Yeah, seriously.
I haven't been there in so long.
Same here. That feels like my early like LA days and early like when I lived closer to Hollywood days. So that sounds fascinating. Yeah. I love it.
So it's all about the Comedy Store, and it's about Mitzi Shore, which for anyone who doesn't know, she owned the store forever until she died a couple of years ago. And her son, obviously, is the famous Pauly Shore, who owns it now. So
perfect.
Anyways, check that out. It's great. It's like 7 or 8 episodes long.
But bringing us back, don't watch it right before bed.
Don't watch it right before bed. Close them peepers. So another reason that we as a species might be experiencing an uptick in anxiety disorders is because of the internet. Now, obviously, the internet is a wonderful thing. We have so much knowledge at the tip of our fingers. But unfortunately, that actually might be making us dumber. Because we have all the information in the world, but we're not retaining any of it. Because why bother remembering something when you could look it up in 20 seconds?
Right. No, that is valid.
We're training our brains to not have to remember, too, because... You know, have you ever been there and been like, oh, who was that actress that was in that? I'll
every
just look
day.
It up. I'll just look it up. And then you
that
look
is
it up.
Every day of my damn life.
And it's like, no, like, don't look it up. Like, think about it more. Think. It'll come to you. You have to use those muscles, those memory muscles.
Mm-hmm. I try. I've been trying to do that where I stop myself and I say, like, try to think of it first. Don't go straight to your phone. But then I just get too aggravated after a few minutes. But now I'm trained to do that. I have IMDb. Let's go.
So, yeah, we're not retaining any information. And also, this is interesting. You know, there are so many sites we can just scroll and scroll and scroll. You know, Reddit, Twitter, Facebook. And have you ever read something and then kept scrolling and then found yourself thinking about it 30 seconds later and having to scroll back up to find it? Like, where was that? That's because your brain is failing to keep up. Like, it's too much. Your brain cannot keep up with what you're doing because it's not designed to. We have not reached that point of evolution yet.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
The internet is also a very negative place. There's a lot of cyberbullying in younger generations. In my generation, like, I get cyberbullied all the time.
I was going to say, I remember getting cyberbullied on, if anybody remembers, AOL Instant Messenger or AIM. Yeah. The seniors at my school like would get everything would be fine at school, and then I'd get home and these like random seniors that I barely knew would get on and start saying the most awful things to me because they could hide behind a computer. And now that's still happening, but just in like even crazier ways because it's much more public and on Instagram and on Twitter. And oh gosh, I feel for these younger generations. They have it pretty rough when everything is like in front of the world.
And adults, I mean, we can't, even us who, we experienced it, but we can't have any idea how it feels, what they actually go through, because most of their lives is online now.
Yep.
And like you said, it's so much easier to be mean or threaten violence when you have a screen that adds a layer of separation, especially when you can be a different person or hide your name and face. So it's toxic.
Being a little bit of a coward. Yeah.
But also, as creatures, as animals, we are designed to function in certain ecosystems. And our brains are designed over, again, hundreds of thousands of years to be capable of being a part of a community that is X amount large. So the size of our village or even small city. And as pack animals, we are concerned with our tribes, with our neighbors, our countrymen, our families, etc. So with the invention of radio, television, and especially the internet, we now know every single thing that's going on in every part of this country, in every part of the world. We have so much information. We have so much stimuli. We have so many neighbors to care about. Our tribe is mm-hmm. now billions of people, not yeah. just the people in our immediate surroundings. And again, I have to say, it's evolution. The jump in technology is insane. We went through this and we just, our bodies have not caught up yet. And we are not supposed to be aware of the details of hundreds of people's lives.
Right.
We're not equipped. We're not
prepared for that at all.
To handle yeah. that. Obviously, so much. We will evolve. Our bodies are going to evolve to handle that. But it's going to take probably another 100,000 years. Like, it's not going yeah. to be in any of our immediate yeah, generations' lifetimes when right. that anxiety is finally gone. Because the reasons humans are we have anxiety, like, just as a part of our life is that, you know, we had to used to be like, oh, whoa, wait, ho, like, is the tiger going to eat me? Or, like, will I survive the winter?
Sure.
But it's just ever since, especially the internet, but, like, pretty much since, like, the 40s, we have just grown and grown and grown. We continue to grow technologically, and but not evolution. You can't speed up human evolution. So, yeah, we will evolve. We can see human bodies evolving all the time. It's one of my favorite things to actually look at. Like, for example, lactose intolerance or lactose yeah. tolerance is evolutionary because human beings are not supposed to drink milk from other mammals. And yeah. we're not even supposed to drink milk at all. Like, even our own milk into adulthood. We're not supposed
to. But we're doing it.
And it wasn't actually until a mutation in Hungary 7,500 years ago that adults started being able to digest milk. So that's how new it is.
That is wild that developed over time. Yeah. Like, it wasn't initially there. That is so cool.
So if you are lactose intolerant, you are the normal one.
Right.
We're not supposed to. You're how
humans
to.
Are supposed to be, and the rest of us are just over here chugging away and don't know how we got here.
And wisdom teeth are another. Now, today, 1 in 4 people are missing one or more wisdom teeth because humans don't need them anymore. So they're starting yeah. to disappear. And that first happened, I don't remember when that mutation happened, but it's actually most common. You can see that mutation in Inuit people in Canada, Alaska, and there's one other place. But yeah, so, like, that's interesting. Like, what?
Yeah, like, why, how? That's very fascinating.
And this is another thing I know, like, last week I was saying, you know, the fact that we now know about transgenerational trauma, that's good that we know that. Now we can start to think about therapy for that or, like, treatment for that. And same here, you know, it takes hundreds of thousands of years for our bodies to evolve. So this isn't something that's going to, like, all of a sudden go away tomorrow. It's going to be a very long time. But yeah. we're not equipped to deal with the world we live in today, and whether you like it or not, it does take a physiological and psychological toll on us, but there are ways to help our bodies function better. You know, like getting that early morning sunlight, that early morning walk, or working on your posture, or cutting down screen time, and hopefully this next generation of psychologists and therapists are going to be trained, like actually trained in our physiological bodies and their functions so that treatment for mental health disorders can be more efficient.
Right.
It literally is a matter of us not adapting to our environment. So yeah, it's
being too overwhelmed.
Yeah. So that would be, I think, really beneficial. Like if you were going to college to be a psychologist and you had a course in the way technology affects our brains.
Yeah, and this specifically, so you can hit those moments with people and, like, help them specifically with the amount of technology they're consuming and mm-hmm. how it's affecting them.
Yeah, because you hear that all the time about, oh, like, it, you know, rots your brain or, you know, too many social. But, like, if you actually research what is chemically taking place in your body, it really sort of makes you go, like, yeah. okay, that makes sense. That makes way more sense than just, it will rot yeah. your brain.
That makes a difference.
No, no, no.
being told not to watch too much TV by your parents because it's rotting your brain was not helpful in any way. But like to actually learn the science and then build upon that, like you were saying, is so, that's going to be so beneficial in years to come. And that's awesome to know that they're figuring that out and they're working on that.
I've been told my whole life when I'm not able to sleep or I'm feeling really like crummy for no reason, it's like, well, get outside. And that doesn't do anything for me because I'm like, what is different about being outside than being here in my apartment?
You didn't know that there was something happening.
Yeah. When you can actually show me exactly what happens to my body when I do that, then it's like, well, that fucking makes sense. Like, why did you tell me that?
That makes the difference. It's like the teachers would always say on your math test, like, give me the answer, but also show me your work. And we need that as adults. Why? Show me your work. Show me the why. How did you get to this answer of me needing
to
step outside?
How did you come to this conclusion?
Why do I have to go outside?
What is out there? Because to me, it seems like nothing good is happening out there. Ugh. And I'm safe here. So that's
it. No, you're so right.
Human beings and technology, there's so many things our bodies do that are amazing. And that, you know, there are things that we don't need anymore that evolution's going to get rid of. And then there's new things that we, like, need that evolution's going to have to
catch up with us. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is fascinating. I'm so appreciative for you sharing that. I'm sad that I'm like really going to switch gears.
I was going to say, bring us down.
Into a terrible story, but you know me and my true crime. And this one is interesting. It's not like the normal true crime I would do, but I'll tell you like how I got here in the first place. So it wasn't even for this Helter Skelter. Like I knew you can kind of pick anything for Helter Skelter. Our past stories, find a brand new one. Like we can, the world is our oyster, which is fun. But I was actually looking for news stories for our newsletter because each month that's kind of like one of my little spiels. That's my thing is I put in news stories for you guys if you're a patron, which you should be. A little side note, get on there.
What you should be.
Because we used to do our show on YouTube This Week in Weird and we loved bringing the weird news stories. So now that's kind of like our other outlet. So on Wednesday, October 14th in Oklahoma at McAllister Regional Hospital, a 28-year-old man arrived. He was just dropped off. They didn't see who brought him. And he came limping in, like clutching at his crotch, bleeding like crazy, saying that he had just had a surgery done to him at somebody's home in Wister, Oklahoma on Monday, October 12th. The patient told the hospital that someone had removed his testicles. And the victim was also informed while he was there that the plan by the two men who removed his testicles was that they were going to eat them and they wanted him to join them and participate in cannibalism altogether. So the hospital's freaking out. They're trying to treat this man and save his life because he's bleeding out and he's like pale as ever. But they're also calling the county sheriff's office saying, we have an issue.
Excuse me.
Like, nobody's with this man, so we don't know, like, who did this. We're trying to get the story while also saving his life, but you need to get down here. And the man's name still hasn't been given to the public. We just know he is a 28-year-old man from Virginia. But this is how it all went down. Before you feel too bad for the guy, he is still a victim. My goodness, this is horrible. But when we finally learned the story, we hear that this anonymous man on September 28th in Virginia booked a flight to come to Oklahoma and meet this man who claimed he had 15 years of experience doing castration procedures. This man was, he was searching for a castration. And before anyone says, like, why would you look for that? We've sort of talked about this before on our bodies episode when we talked about eunuchs. We had a eunuch on the show who was, he was born that way, but I think he like briefly touched on how like some people do want to become eunuchs. It is a thing. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, like for sexual pleasure, people try to build it up to be this like world of sex. It's not, it's actually the opposite. It's like they're not trying to be transgender. They just want, you know, they want their testicles taken off. They want that taken away from them. They want to be a eunuch that is just what they desire. They don't want to be like the man they were created to be. It's something that's in them, just the same way if you feel like you're a different gender, put in the wrong body. You know, something feels wrong on them and they want this taken away. But sadly, like you can have a procedure done by a professional to have your testicles removed. It's normal. But most people feel so strange about wanting to be a eunuch, and they feel shamed that they go to these super sketchy internet sites and find assholes like this dude that I'm going to talk about.
This guy who you're paying cash is not going to ask questions.
No.
Whereas a doctor would be like, okay, can we get you a therapist? You can talk about this. You can at least discover within yourself why you don't want, you know what I mean? It's like, well, that is a lot of hard work that I don't want to do. I just want you to take my balls.
Yes, exactly. They're just trying to look to get like to their goal as quickly as they can. And they're like, this will be sort of under the radar. I don't have to be embarrassed going to an actual hospital. I don't have to do therapy, yada, yada, yada. So he is searching for this, and he finds this website called the Eunuch Makers. I believe it's on the dark web. It doesn't say that specifically, but it sounds like he was kind of going like down that route. Yeah. I don't think that's just like your first.
It's actually a part of, you can find them on Google Business.
Page one of Google Business. It's like the first thing that pops up. So he finds these eunuch makers and he, you know, starts telling them his desires. And then they even have like a Skype session. They talk for a couple of weeks. And then, so he meets this man who says, I have 15 years of experience. I have videos I can send you of these procedures. Like, I have been doing this for a while. Just come see me in Oklahoma. So again, on September 28th, he books a flight. And also this man tells him, the surgery will actually not cost you anything. I just like getting these under my belt. Like, it's enjoyable for me. So also that is a huge red flag. So the victim flies to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport on Sunday, October 11th, and he's picked up by a man who is named Bob Allen, and they arrive at Allen's secluded cabin in the woods in Wister, in Oklahoma, very late at night. And at night, they just kind of talk about what's going to happen the next day, how this is going to go down. Bob tries to make him feel comfortable, and then they go to sleep in separate bedrooms. Again, it's like this, there's nothing sexual, nothing too crazy yet. And so they go to sleep, and the next day, Bob Allen wakes the man up and says, let's do the surgery tonight at 5 p.m. And as promised, the procedure took place 5 p.m. and took about 2 hours to complete. The victim described to police that he was laying on a wood table covered in operation gowns. Allen prepped him by wiping his groin, then injecting the area with numbing medication. The victim was awake the entire time while his scrotum and testicles were removed with surgical equipment by Bob Allen and his partner Thomas Gates, both men in their late 40s. And Allen was the main guy doing the surgery, and then this Gates guy was like handing him the tools and just kind of like participating with him. So then the surgery happens, and the victim is sort of saying like, okay, what happens next? Then Bob Allen out of the blue says, now we are going to consume your parts because we are cannibals. And what is the response of the victim?
No one shared this information with me prior to this moment right now.
That was not discussed previously.
But at the same time, like, okay.
I know, but also it's like if all you, to an extent, you're like, if all you wanted was the castration, like, can't they just do whatever the hell they want with it? But also, no, that's disgusting and I hate everything. But that's where he was.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, go on.
No, what are you going to say? You might have
I'm not sure. Oh. I'm saving it because I want to see what you have to say next.
That's fair. So Bob Allen basically is like standing there saying, sorry, we didn't say this before. Like, we try not to creep people out or turn them away. Like, you're in good hands with us. The procedure went well, but we actually do consume the parts when we're done. And he said, the victim said that like he had a crazy look in his eye. Him and Thomas Gates were even laughing and joking about like past people they had worked on, how like some people got weird with them and they had to give, like, hold them down a little more. Like, the conversation is starting to get creepy. It's weird that they're laughing. And then Bob Allen describes a man who he actually left opened up to die and bleed out overnight because he was saying that he was going to go to authorities. So Bob Allen then starts to turn from his laughing and his talking about his lifestyle as a cannibal into sort of threatening, saying, you know, if you're not okay with this, you better speak now because this is what's going to happen. I can show you like these videos that I told you. I have these procedure videos that I can like let you know what's going to happen. You just kind of tell me how you want this to go. So the victim's panicking, doesn't want to die, and just sort of says like, no, stitch me up. I'll just rest here and recover. I'm fine. I won't tell anybody, like just freaking out. So then on Tuesday morning, October 13th, the victim wakes up and has a lot of bleeding because, of course, the procedure was not done correctly, to the surprise of no one, and he is passing out over and over. He keeps waking up and then passing out, out because he is just bleeding like crazy. So he calls for Bob Allen, who argues with him for a while, saying, like, I really don't want to take you to a hospital. We're under the radar for a reason. But he's like, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. Just please drop me off. You don't have to come in. I won't tell anybody. So he finally agrees to take him to this McAllister Regional Hospital where he ends up. During the drive, Bob Allen still is, like, looking into the backseat and telling him, if you die or you lose consciousness, I'm dumping you in the woods. Like, I'm not dealing with this shit. You will get dumped in the woods and no one will ever find you. And luckily they make it there. The victim still has consciousness. And he says, if anyone asks you, you did this to yourself. Because again, sadly, self-castration is a pretty common thing. And authorities would believe that because people want to become eunuchs bad enough. They'll do it to themselves and they won't even seek the help of somebody else. So they were like, say you did this to yourself. Goodbye. And they drop him off. But now once the victim is explaining this to the hospital and to police, the sheriff's office is able to get a search warrant for the Wister home because luckily this guy had enough of a memory to describe exactly where it was. So they go search the cabin. Allen and Gates are not there, but they do a full search where they find multiple storage devices with recordings of the procedures that are just like heinous and horrible on three different laptops, numerous crazy medications that they have no idea how they obtained. And then in a bedroom, there were bags of mushrooms in a locker to, again, it's not shocking. Of course, they were probably doing some drugs. There's a medical bag full of utensils and then a resealable plastic bag inside a deep freezer with what appear to be testicles. And then another bedroom had syringes and adult diapers, and the bathroom had a small tub with what appeared to be dried blood all over it. So things are just looking rough. They immediately know they're in the middle of a horror movie.
It sounds like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house.
Right? That's what I was thinking. Just doing this search and just finding, the most horrific things. The living room had two flash drives, restraint straps next to the medicine cabinet, a sheet with a needle, and a bloody
still
dog pad.
Still sounds like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Still sounding correct.
Still on brand.
And bloody dog pads were found in the trash. Then during their search, deputies were told that, like, as they're in the house, they get word that Bob Allen and Thomas Gates are at the hospital trying to visit the victim. They, I guess, felt convicted in some way and wanted to go see how he was. Maybe they were thinking they could stay under the radar and just seem like strangers.
They're probably going to threaten him.
Probably, but also I don't think they knew how much he had said already, and so they were feeling bold, so they go there. But the McAllister police officers get word, and they take both men into custody. They rush over there and are able to get them. Obviously, with everything they found in the creepy cabin, they have enough to go on. So they transported Allen and Gates both to the sheriff's office for booking. They are currently jailed with $295,000 of bail each. Nobody has made any attempt to bail them out. The victim is still hospitalized, but is expected to make a full recovery. And thank goodness. And the two men will be charged with, I wanted to go over all their counts because there's a lot, conspiracy to commit unlicensed surgery, practicing medicine without a license, maiming, unlawful use of communication facility, distribution of controlled dangerous substances, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, failure to bury a dead human member, which that was interesting. I looked into it, like if they do perform this surgery, they're expected to, you know, throw it out or bury it or just dispose of it properly. But because they were keeping it in a bag with intent to eat it, you know, of course they get in trouble. Possession of controlled dangerous substance and unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia. So 9 different counts. Basically, they have no chance of getting out of this with the mountains of evidence against them, mostly being like the countless tapes and flash drives. They can't talk themselves out of anything. So these guys are going to go away for a very long time. They're disgusting, but thank goodness this man is going to make a recovery because it sounds like past victims were not as lucky.
Yeah. So my question that I bit my tongue on, I typed it up so I wouldn't forget it. So why? Okay. So they remove his balls. They sew him up. And then he's like laying there recovering. And then they walk in the room and they're like, by the way, we're going to eat your ball. Like, why did they even say anything to him about
that's what I don't know. Well, and the victim told police that they were trying to convince him to be cannibals with them. That was the story he gave them. Obviously, we don't know if that's true. None of us were in the room. And it doesn't sound like they recorded his procedure for whatever reason, or maybe they did and just nobody has like talked about the tapes yet, but his word was they were trying to convince me to participate with them because I guess the three of these men were kind of having a good rapport. They were going back and forth
like, oh, and by the way, like we were thinking about having a beer and eating these balls,
right?
Do you want to join? And he's like, wait, what was the second part of that?
What was that? Can you
what
go
was
back
the second part?
Rewind a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. They just like they felt some weird comfort with him. And so they brought it up. But I mean, it also sounds like it's not the first time they've brought it up with someone. Because again, they were kind of bragging and laughing about past victims who they're like, oh, we let him bleed out on the table because we could tell we couldn't trust him. So I think that is their downfall, is they were giving too much away of their desires. And they need to hide that part about eating the balls.
Yeah, fool me once. You know what I mean? Shame on you. Fool me twice. That's on me. So, like, if they had already done this and then shared that information, like, oh, by the way, like, we eat these balls. Do you want to join us? And, like, the person freaked out. You'd think that the next time they'd be like, hey, let's not, even if we're cool.
Let's never bring that up again.
Even if he's cool, let's not ask him if he wants to join us. Which makes me think either it is a fetish on their end.
Yeah.
The cannibalism, I mean, it obviously, there's some sort of fetish, whether it's a sexual
fetish. It's a fetish,
fetish
for
or,
them. It's not a fetish for the guy getting the castration.
So part of the fetish might be having someone ingest their own body. So like maybe that. I was also thinking like, because I was like, well, just keep it to yourself. Like, and like, you already performed the surgery. You have the balls. All you have to do is let him heal and he's gone and you never have to see him again. But I wonder if he said, like, that he wanted to, like, after they removed his balls and they were taking him away, if he was like, hey, I actually wanted to keep them. And then they were like, oh, no, by the way, we're going to eat them.
And that's totally possible because, again, we're going off the victim's word and maybe, like, he didn't want to admit, like, everything that went into this because he's already mortified. But there is a really good chance he said, what if I take these home in a jar with me? Like, we have no idea. And then maybe that's how the conversation came up. Like you said, we don't know what went into all of this. And this guy was already, you know, embarrassed of who he wanted to be, which is why he sought out these awful men in the first place. So, like, I'm sure he wasn't being completely honest about everything that went down in their conversations. All he knew is he was bleeding out and he had to get to a hospital, and these guys have some issues. There's a little bit of a disconnect with these dudes. So I'm glad he tattled. I'm sure he was terrified for his life knowing, you know, the way that they were threatening him. But I'm so glad he got these guys in jail before they could get more people, because it sounds like they already had quite a few under their belt and they're extremely dangerous. So
yeah, I agree. I'm glad that he spoke up and these guys are behind bars. And I also hope that he is able to stay anonymous.
Yeah, me too. I hope it doesn't come out who he is because it's just so scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we've read some pretty sick stories on this show. But what caught my eye about this was that this just happened. Like, I hadn't heard something this twisted in a minute, maybe. And I was like, wow, this was just last month. Like, the official, like, documents about them, you know, being in jail and what their charges were was on October 21st. So it's just, this is so recent.
When you first started telling the story, I was like, oh, everyone knows this story. Because I thought it was either the cannibal cop in New York.
Uh-huh.
Who apparently lived in the same building as John Mulaney, which is interesting.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Or that there was that other cannibal, the guy who basically met the guy on Craigslist, and it was like a sexual thing, and he was like,
"Yeah, the guy
like,
entered
I'm gonna
into
cut off
it
your
knowingly,
penis, and we're gonna eat it together." And the guy was like, "Okay," and then he ended up not only cutting off his penis, but like stabbing him to death.
Right. It was like the guy agreed and said, yeah, let's cook my penis and eat it for God knows what reason. But yeah, then he ended up just getting brutally murdered. It was also on tape, which is, that seems to be part of the fetish, is like, yeah. I'm going to castrate you and tape it. That is now, that's a consistency I've seen. It's very interesting.
Fetish means something that's done for pleasure. It doesn't necessarily have to be sexual pleasure. So if you hear us saying fetish, like, please don't automatically think we're talking about like sexual fetishes, because there can be other fetishes that don't cause sexual arousal.
Absolutely. And that's another like interesting point to this whole story, is that clearly these two guys did have the fetish, but this other guy, like, for him, it didn't seem like this was for pleasure at all. More just of, this is the way he wanted his body to look, almost like a plastic surgery, like, thing. And so it just sucks for him that he got caught up in this. And but at the same time, that's what you get on the dark web. Like, it's scary.
I think it's actually, if it's not sexual, I think it's actually called fixation.
Ah, okay.
I don't know. Who fucking knows? You know what? Those words are going to change in 10 years anyway.
It's very true. So just
write me a letter when they do.
Be offended in 10 years and tell us the correct language.
I will say whatever word you want. I'm so, so easy.
Yeah. So there we go.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome, everybody.
I'm going to go eat a snack. And try not to think about testicles in my mouth.
I know. I feel like I'm always the one to really have the true crime downers. But man, I have a fixation, if you will.
But that wasn't really a downer. Downers are when it's like, this girl was
brutally murdered
and killed. And it's like, well, that's
the
worst. But like this one's like, he survived. They're in jail. We're fine.
You're right. It's a good ending.
Well, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you guys so much, as usual, for tuning in and listening to the show. Join us next week for an episode we are very excited for. We're going to be discussing women throughout history that you should know,
but
probably don't. If you would please follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast across all platforms. That's a Midwest thing.
It is such a Midwest thing to say across.
Across all platforms. Join our Facebook group if you want to get in on some fun games, meme sharing, and just gaining a ton of weird, sweet friends who are always there for you when you need them.
Yes, you do.
Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast if you want to receive bonus episodes every month, along with newsletters and discounts on merch. Check out our Etsy store at etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast if you want to get yourself a t-shirt or a hoodie or sweatpants or even a blanket. So cozy. It's winter.
The coziest blankie. Yes. Curl up.
Check out, nope, I already said that. Join us next week. Nope, I already said that too. That's all, folks. No, we need to say something encouraging. What's some good advice for this week? Well, you know what? Take a walk. Go outside.
Yes, take a walk. We now know that scientifically the sunshine will help you. So go outdoors.
What were you
going to
say?
I mean, everyone, take good care of yourself and have grace with yourself. But also, I got a lot of encouraging messages during, you know, all the anxiety-inducing election coverage and just news in the last couple of weeks from people saying, hey, I'm sure it's really tough to try and control your anxiety while raising a little human and not trying to let them know you're anxious. So I just want to encourage you in that. And so when I was getting those messages, that made me want to pass it on to any of you parents feeling like you're just doing the bare minimum and keeping your little one alive and, you know, loving on them, reading them books. That's wonderful. Just keep loving your little ones. Keep raising them to be the best little people. And just know that even if you're anxious and hurting inside, like, if you're still being there for them and just getting by, you're doing the best that you can. And they still adore you and love you. And we're all just doing the best we can. And you can do this.
History is full of mothers who are doing what they can. You know what I mean? Like, doing the bare minimum. And by bare minimum, I just mean, like, are your kids alive? And do they know that you love them?
Yes.
That's literally check, all check. You need
That's perfect.
To raise a kid is you have to keep them alive and they have to know that you love them and that you've got their back. That's it.
Yep.
Everything else is just bonus.
Yeah. It's okay if you're not doing the perfect schoolwork and if you have to give them some screen time, so freaking be it. Do what you have to do to survive. Like
maybe
they're gonna be happy.
We'll speed up this whole evolution shit. If we get these babies on their computers.
Get the babies on the screens, everybody. No, you're all doing great.
Show them the dancing radishes.
Show them. All of you parents, you're killing it out there, but all of you non-parents too. Just love yourselves, take care of yourselves, go take a stroll outside, and keep it weird.
And keep it weird. I don't have a butt.
I don't poop.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.